replacement. So what we saw tonight with Grisham teaming with Stryker, and what we'll see Friday with Ross teaming with Taz, that could be a forecast of things to come. We might, if Foley were to leave, I think that would probably be the announcing structure, especially based on the fact that I think Matt Stryker did a nice job on tonight's ECW program. It would be too bad. Foley's been fantastic. Now, the ostensible reason, I guess I should get to this, the ostensible reason, and actually the real reason Mick Foley is off SmackDown this week is he's selling what happened with Edge last week. So that makes sense. What I don't get is why not just have Taz do double duty? And I think the reason that they're not having Taz just announce ECW, you know, I mean, Grisham's only been on the job 1 week. You shake it up a week later before he has a chance to really get settled. You know, why do that? I mean, Taz could easily announce ECW and SmackDown. And I'm thinking the reason is they wanted to audition Matt Stryker in case they move Taz back home to SmackDown. I suspect Taz would not mind at all being back on SmackDown. And Stryker, by the way, did a really nice job on color commentary. He started off the show by saying that he is actually a wrestling nerd. that's a term he used. He said, "I'm a wrestling nerd," and he was excited to be doing color commentary, and he showed it early. He talked about all the wrestlers. He said that Bam Neely is from Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and he said, "There must be something in the water there because it's produced Rick Rude, the Road Warriors, Brad Ringens, Kurt Hennig, and on and on." Now, what's sad about that list is Rick Rude, Hawk, and Kurt Hennig are all dead. Three of the five he listed are dead. So, yeah, there's something in the water, all right, so to speak. I'm impressed he rattled off that many names of wrestlers from Robbinsdale, or we'll give him a little slack, the surrounding community. Hawk and Adam weren't from Robbinsdale. But I like that he brought in, rolling off his tongue, all this knowledge. And he actually did some research, too, throughout the show. He gave facts about wrestlers that, you know, you just wouldn't know without, you know, reading a profile page of theirs. When Brandon Walker took on James Curtis was the jobber, but Stryker took time to tell us that James Curtis was trained by Savio Vega, and he's a licensed boating captain. Some interesting facts there. You know, just kind of useless information, but, you know, a little bit of information like that doesn't hurt. He also made a reference to Tommy Dreamer and Colin Delaney in that turn being similar to Larry Zbyszko and Bruno Sammartino. You don't hear references to Sammartino very often on WWE television. And there's a reason for that. I mean, Sammartino is not, is outspoken against Vince McMahon in WWE, and they just don't talk about that era of their history very often, but, you know, it's an apt comparison in certain ways. I mean, if you subtract, if you account for the fact that Tommy Dreamer is anywhere near the star of Sammartino and Delaney, Zbyszko, same thing, but there is a mentor protege situation and there was a turn. I mean, it applies and it's kind of fun hearing that. It reminded me of JBL. We haven't heard those kind of references since JBL, made a reference to the Simpson brothers, Steve and Sean from World Class Championship Wrestling, when comparing them to various wrestlers on SmackDown week after week after week, and other acknowledgments that he was a wrestling fan growing up and actually knows stuff about wrestling. This episode of ECW was kind of weird. It opened up pretty cold with Chavo and Bam Neely facing Ricky Ortiz and Evan Bourne. Bourne was the star of this match. He won with a roll-up where he kind of flipped himself onto his back in the roll-up position and got extra leverage while bridging for a pin. He also did a cool leaping double knee dive off the top rope. He's just good. I mean, he's going to get over and stick around. He really stands out. He's got the right look for someone his size. It's just, he just seems like a likable, durable, athletic, young wrestler. They got to find the right slot for him. I mean, he is small for WWE and who they normally push, but boy, if there's a reason to bring that cruiserweight title back and build a division around somebody, and they were just waiting for that certain somebody to show up, and Ray was a little too big of a star and wanted to be a heavyweight, which probably is not good for his knees and his body and all that. But if they're looking for that person to build around, Evan Bourne could be it. But maybe he aspires to something more than a cruiserweight title that's kind of treated as not the most prestigious belt over the years. Mike Knox stood mid-ring and cut a promo about Finlay. He started sounding kind of like Bruiser Brody, a little bit like Northern Barbarian, but then Northern Barbarian was trying to sound like Bruiser Brody. But Mike Knox kind of has a little Grizzly Adams look to him and sounded like Brody did in similar situations when he was doing promos. I mean, there's still some differences, and you know. This is PW Torch editor Wade Keller, and that concludes another random 5-minute free audio clip from a Torch VIP audio show. We feature a wide variety of audio shows, around 50, sometimes more than 60 audio shows in any given month, from a wide variety of perspectives, from a wide variety of contributors to the Torch, and this is just one sample of that. Keep checking back at pwtorch.com for other free 5-minute clips. And of course, we encourage you, if you're so inclined, to try a VIP membership and get the feature length, the full length audio updates of all of our audio shows throughout the week. For more information on becoming a VIP member, just click on the VIP sign up button in the upper left corner of the screen, right underneath the pwtorch.com logo. Thanks for your support of the Torch, and until next time, Wade Keller signing off.